Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. I regret to report that both our Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen, with the dark shadow of the Empire rising to take their place. This message is a warning and a reminder for any surviving Jedi. Trust in the Force.
They've outgrown their age of rebellion, dulled the Empire's edge. Defeated Imperial generals and the Pirate Queen's dredge. They've been soldiers and scoundrels, what's there left to be? How about lost acolytes looking for their force and destiny? There's a seer, hermit, investigator, and teacher. Better watch your back or a vibrarang's gonna reach you. Will his team find the light or will darkness win the day? Find out with the heroes of the Hadean Way.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a Star Wars actual play podcast, and we're playing in Fantasy Flight Games' Force and Destiny system. Or, well, we were. And this adventure was inspired by Chronicles of the Gatekeeper, as developed by Tim Cox and Max Brook. This is Act 3, Question and Answer, Episode Number 2. And I'm Ben. I was the GM for this adventure.
I'm Brandon. I was Koba, the Dug Investigator.
I'm Ren, and I was Skip. Gobi, the Kalaran Seeker Hermit, with their compatriot Gudge, short for Gudgeon.
Work?
Yeah, this is all fish stuff, just in case you aren't a biology nerd.
I mean, that's a very specific brand of nerd. I mean, that's the point of nerd, actually, is specific brands. But, you know, I am Leslie, and this season I played Hillary Darth Oruk. Lord Dark Lord, first of his name.
It just makes me think of Blitzball.
I mean,
yeah. Now I can't unsee it.
That's not why his name that's entirely why it was Oruk. I'm not even going to pretend otherwise.
Oh my gosh. For like 2 years, I haven't realized this.
Oh my gosh.
Why?
Oh, this is great.
That is 100% where I found it.
That is perfect.
Oh, because I personally think at least Final Fantasy X, of the Final Fantasies that I've played, 10 makes the most sense in a Star Wars style world. Like, and I think you could play 10 in this system. And I think that somebody needs to come up with Blitzball rules for this system.
Yeah. Blitzball is a pretty Star Wars kind of sport.
I mean, if you have Leslie GS on Twitter.
Oh, please. Please, please, no, please, please.
No. It's 12th night with no
1-2 TH, no K.
Yeah, 1-2 TH night with a K. That's NIGHT WITH AK.
Oh, my good golly.
It's a good thing she loves us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, we love you, Christina. We miss you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw you yesterday, but, you know.
We should specify, I think, that it's for good reasons that Christine couldn't be with us.
Yeah, not she's like not dead, as somebody might have implied before.
Devastating personal reasons.
She's good. She's working.
She is on another temporal plane.
Yeah. And so far as any outcome that is fundamentally based upon the capitalist hellscape in which we all live, yeah, she's not here for good
reasons.
Okay,
fair enough. But anyway, we're not here to do anything other than pine for Christine, apparently. But while we're waiting, we might as well answer some questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since we don't have a destiny pool to roll. We're just going to jump back in with the handful we have left, and I'm going to start by picking on Ren.
Oh, come on.
Indirectly.
Because
Ren asked a question.
Oh, haha, then I don't have to answer it.
From Ren, long-time listener, long-time player, we had a lot of musical beats in this season, but because of legal stuff, we can't have pop music. So what is your not-legally-allowed power ballad for your character? And mine, which I can't believe I had off the top of my head as soon as I read your question, was All for Love. Bryan Adams, Sting,
aww.
Rod Stewart. It is just over the top sappy enough.
And now it is stuck in your head.
It just made me very happy. and seems appropriate. And I can see Hillary touching his tiny fist, singing to the stars.
Aww.
And doing that weird thing where you're kind of rocking and tapping your toe to the rhythm of the song as your impassioned song just reaches out for the person whose heart you hold, and you're all alone. But still.
Now, you said you had one for me. I have a knee-jerk reaction one for me, but I want to hear what yours was.
Oh, mine for Skip is Lost in the Wood from Frozen 2.
Oh, right.
As sung to Gudge. Or for Gudge. Because I think the whole point of singing the song was that the love interest or target of affection was not present. So perhaps after Gudge is gone with Koba for a bit,
oh,
Skip has a moment.
I do like that. Because it's such a ridiculous song.
And he sings it with animals.
You need, like, the music video along with it, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
The very power ballad, like, hairband. There's, like, an image of your head in the clouds with
the
blur
feature.
The superimposed
images, yes. But what was your knee-jerk reaction?
Well, my knee-jerk reaction wasn't even, I don't think, anything that could be considered a power ballad, because I forgot that I wrote power ballad as the parameter here. And I was like, ooh, what's a good Skip song? And I was like, ooh, how about Don't Stop Me Now from Queen? Because it's all, ooh, like frantic. And
it is a very driving pace. Yeah, that makes sense.
But that's not a power ballad. So
yeah. Maybe keep thinking, does Brandon have one for...
Well, I mean, if we keep going with the reluctant power ballad or reluctant protagonist, I mean, we could always go with Holding Out for a Hero.
I mean, I love that song so much.
That has come across my mind several times when doing editing for the crew.
I think it's never far away from my mind, and I don't have a good reason for that other than it's amazing. So
yeah, I can't think of a power ballad that I think fits Koba. Koba strikes me as, you know, all jests about saxophone and stuff aside, I feel like Koba probably would be exemplified by a song from, like, someone like Harry Chapin, where it's always a story song that ends badly and everybody's miserable.
For example?
Taxi. Maybe he's the William Shatner version of Taxi.
Oh my gosh. Well, maybe this works out well, because I think power ballads make a lot of sense for Hillary. He's very earnest. And I think the frantic mess that is Don't Stop Me Now makes a lot of sense for Skip. And depressing story songs make a lot of sense for Koba.
Yeah. Like if you can't identify the song Taxi off the top of your head, because why would you be able to? It's a story song where a cab driver picks up, just kind of by accident, an old flame, and they talk about the good times they had all those years prior. And the song ends when he drops her off at her house, and with the knowledge that they have both given up on their dreams, and that though they politely kind of agree that they'll get together sometime or whatever, they know that they will never do that. And then he goes away and gets high.
I'm going to stick with the gambler, because I feel like the no one to hold him, no one to walk away kind of lines work well for Koba's kind of pragmatic side. Also, I'm pretty sure the song ends up with the gambler that's telling the story dying.
Yeah.
He dies about 2/3 of the way through.
I'm going to throw out a guess for Kesh.
Ooh,
yes.
Just like anything Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe their cover of Hurt.
Yeah, like, that's exactly where my mind went. Like,
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Or...
Let's see what Christine says.
Where's the final countdown? Because she died at the end.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good golly.
That was an amazing question, my love. But since we're considering our characters, let's flow right into Adam's question. Adam Beltane.
Adam,
oh, actually, you know what? Hold for a second. Ben, Would you like to pick a song for one of your characters? Or for the game as a whole?
Carl's is the theme to Doogie Howser.
Like, Ward, there's just nothing really there for it. At least my version of Ward is the guy who did a bunch of stuff and has finally realized how crud I did all this and is having to live with it. Carl is just like one of those perky instrumental things. No words, just very like the introduction to a 1960s movie where they're showing this is the city thing. And it's just this, like, in New York, really uppy kind of music. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you said perky instrumental, and the very first thing I thought of was the dance scene from Spider-Man 3.
Ugh.
I mean, that would not be too far off.
I apologize, but that's where my brain went, apparently.
I immediately just started thinking of, like, the villain songs from Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
I kind of did,
also
too.
Also Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
And then you've got the dramatic at me plotting and planning on being amazing, and then, you know, we all know how that goes.
I mean,
if
that's the other end of it. Like, Carl is very much like that character where all of his problems are because of him.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I thought maybe as a GM, the theme song might be something like You Can't Roller Skate in a Buffalo Herd by Roger Miller, just because it's a song about ridiculous things that don't work well.
Mm.
But you can be happy if you have a mind to, I believe, is the end of the chorus.
I mean, if we're going as a GM, I go with Four Strong Winds by Ian Tyson, but that's also because I'm an Albertan, so weird things.
Trying to think if there's anything from Rent that would be Carl, because Neil Patrick Harris was in Rent for a while.
Was he?
I mean,
yeah,
in all seriousness, he would be a good Benny.
He's Mark, I think, in like the touring company from the 90s.
I mean, I can see it, but
it's kind of basically, you know, that period of time between when he stopped being a child star, but hadn't really come back into like major TV or film roles. He did Broadway for a bit.
I could see that.
And I just
he and Anthony Rapp look like almost the same person, so it makes sense.
To a point, yeah.
I just went back to Evil for extra credit from Carl, because it's such a try-hard evil song in Phineas and Ferb. Context, Carl is an unpaid intern who gets turned evil. And one of the lines from the song is, if I'm losing a video game, I just reset it. And it's just like, look at me be bad. But, you know, Carl's like, look at me be bad by horribly murdering people. But that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho.
The Beltane question.
Yes. Specifically to the players, if you knew at the start of the season how it would end, would you still have played the same characters? I'm going to say yes. But that's because, I mean, Hillary might have changed tack at some point, but I still really liked the concept and the build of Hillary, and it was a lot happier meshing for me as a player playing something that, you know, someone who had something they were good at and something I enjoyed playing, which is, well, again, earnest people, because I'm a sap.
I would have still played a Kalaren. I still would have played something resembling Skip. I definitely would have picked different flaws and things, I think, because I tried really hard to lean into Reckless, but I personally couldn't do it justice because I don't like doing things that would endanger my fellow players' good time, and I feel like a Reckless character usually just for their fellow players. So I probably would have just picked other stuff to lean into, and maybe different stats.
I would not have played the same character. I don't think I would play all that close to Koba. I genuinely don't know what I would have played. I don't know. I probably would have played somebody who was more sincerely intrigued by Jedi or something like that, just to make the adventure run smoother. I wouldn't have been anywhere near Koba.
I mean, fair enough.
Yeah, I think I probably would have played Skip as more of a character that was like wide-eyed, idealizing the Jedi. And even if, you know, it ended up in the end where Skeeba's totally crestfallen and, you know, throws their lightsaber into the sand, it's still fine. It still kind of ends the same way, but, like, it's a little bit more of a crestfallen thing. Mm-hmm. But as I had Skip be, like, basically having no knowledge of the Jedi.
The nature of the adventure really wants characters who are already sort of versed in the Force and have a vested interest in pursuing it. It's not an adventure for regular people to get swept up in. It's just not that adventure.
That's true. I think if I were to change something about Hillary, I would have maybe had him have, like, I had two ranks in lore that didn't get a lot of use, but I think maybe I would have made that a more specific, that would have been a more intentional choice rather than a, I get a rank in lore, hooray,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I would have been more intentional about directions chosen with Hillary, but I think I still would have played the core of Hillary, the dad who's separated from his family and stuck on this ridiculous adventure, but with maybe a more focused interest in the topic, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on the topic of our characters, Hurley, if you wrote your character's journey as a book, comic, or TV show, how would it differ from what happened in the show? I think I would have given myself a cinematic reunion with my wife, but, you know, that was if I was the protagonist. I would have made it happen, or I would have died. Mm. Depends on the day.
Skips would be a TV show, specifically a cartoon.
I feel like Skips would be a TV show cartoon with, like, those little after messages saying, don't litter.
Yes, but save, they're from the sea Koba. Turtles. Koba says.
Not every one of my characters has to have a line of PSAs.
Oh, but I don't know. I don't think so. They should.
I think
since it's all on the Hydian Way, quote unquote, network, wouldn't it just be a continuation of the Berowyn PSAs?
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
That's called parenting.
The Hydian Way Holo Network.
Yeah, the thing I never got around to revealing is that Koba and Berowyn used to be a thing.
What?
I'm not sure I'm prepared for this extended cinematic universe.
I referenced Indiana Jones last time. I think were I to try to compose this as like a work of fiction, it would be more...
A black and white comic book.
Well, maybe, but also more pulp, more a little bit archaeology focused, I guess, because a thing that got lost pretty fast, mostly my own fault, was that, like, Koba's link to things was meant to nominally be that he had at one point operated in, like, black market artifact trading and stuff, and that's, like, why he had decent ranks of lore.
That was mentioned in Tree Town, and, like, I don't think it ever came back up.
But yeah, because ultimately we didn't actually run into things that required lore very often.
Yeah, and my lore fell by the wayside as well.
And like, the crystals that we were trying to collect were always possessed by somebody. They weren't, like, at a place we had to find them. It was like a who has the thing, right? So yeah. I would have just leaned more into that one. Probably also made the Empire or some other villain, like, more intent on getting to them first or whatever, so that there was at least... If nothing else, the drive would be someone is actively constantly trying to kill us.
I'm now picturing Koba standing behind the altar with a crystal on it, rubbing his face with his foot, doing the face that Indy does.
Koba, I don't remember if I've ever mentioned this. I might have mentioned it back in, like, Session Zero or whatever. Cash was not the only character in this campaign that was a character in a different Star Wars game first.
Oh, really?
Koba is a character I was sort of reusing. Like with Christine and Kesh, not literally the same character, but very similar, because for a little while, for kind of a casual lunchtime Edge of the Empire game at FFG some number of years ago, for instance, when I still worked there, or when we still worked in an office, so lunchtime RPG made sense. I made an archaeologist, which is one of the explorer specs from Edge of the Empire, who was Koba, the Doug archaeologist. And so I basically just was kind of like, I'm going to take that character, because I didn't really get to play too much with that character. Lunchtime games, when it's like an hour a session once a week, are not exactly conducive to like deep character stuff anyway.
Yeah.
No.
So that's Koba, for me, began as an archaeologist, even though that isn't strictly canon to this version of Koba.
I think that somebody should make a podcast called Lunchbox RPGs, and that they should just be bite-sized action like sequences that are just like tasty RPG snacks.
That'd be super cool.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I would make that.
Anywho, we're not giving ourselves more podcasts to make. We are actually wrapping one up. Well, wrapping up a season at least.
Oh, I did want to say, I have a fun fact, like, connection between Skip and Vistrano.
Oh, okay. Did Vistrano sew a limb on it at some point?
No. when I was figuring out what I wanted to do with Vistrano, when I was designing the Vistrano character, and I was looking through all the playable species, I came across the Kalaren, and I was like, ooh, do I want to play that? No, I'm too scared to play a non-humanoid, really. Like, I wanted to... Vistrano was just a human, but blue.
I mean, that's fair.
Because that's as comfortable as I was at that point with that. But I decided I really liked the Kalaren so much, I needed to write one into Vistrano's backstory. And so, not Skip, but a Kalaren was Vistrano's ex-boyfriend.
I like the idea that Ren is going to continue playing Star Wars in the future and just go through the rainbow and just pick a different color every time.
There's a lot of really cool aliens.
I mean, there really are.
I actually work that same way when it comes to a new system. I will play the white bread option. I will play the human. I will play the half-elf if I'm feeling bold, you know, just because I want to get a feel for the system before I start trying the funky things, as it were. So my first character was a friend made me, admittedly, she was like a crazy overpowered kind of thing. And like that was my first original kind of character. And it was not something that lasted very long, but it was like, okay. You know, that was my not heroes thing because I was trying to participate, not learn. Whereas for heroes, yeah. I was actively trying to learn everything. Anywho, assuming that for some reason we all made our shows live action, Chris, I'm going to do it again. Stoyson. Chris, who would play your character in the live action series?
Kate Micucci.
It's a good choice.
Love it.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Kate Micucci is kind of awesome.
Yeah. Koba would be CG animated, probably, predominantly, but his voice was always very close to a bad Solid Snake impression, so it would probably be David Hayter providing the voice.
Nice.
Or, if you can't get him, you could get Kurt Russell.
See, I was just going for Nicolas Cage doing Noir Spider. Spider Noir?
That would be awesome.
Probably somebody like Jason Alexander for Hillary. Short, round, soft, musically inclined, or at least adept.
I mean, yeah.
So he doesn't look like a threat, but he can belt out a tune if he needs to and can do a couple of dance moves. I mean, there's going to be some serious wire work with Hillary's shenanigans, like when we were jumping... like parasailing down to the treetop on Arbuin, but
yeah.
I almost went with Nathan Lane, but then I thought of Jason Alexander from the Brandy Cinderella. P.S. The best Cinderella. And I just pictured him in that. Like they had so much fun with the costumes and the colors in that movie that I'm like, nope. Jason Alexander, perfect. I like the balding. I like everything. Just
yeah. And he is musically inclined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But by the way, if you haven't seen the Brandy Cinderella, I really, really do encourage it. It is my favorite and the best.
If we're doing the GM ones. I mean, you can't go wrong with Carl being done by Neil Patrick Harris on account of he really is the inspiration.
Yeah.
And I think it came out, but I'm not entirely certain it made it into the episode. I edited those weeks, months ago now. Christopher Lee for Ward. It just, he is an actor who can do the shift between wacky Ward too. And also it would be the same character, the same actor doing Walther too. Just. It was one of those things of, if we were going to take this on, like, again, if it was a home game, Walther and Ward would have been the same character, just having a bit of a emotional split between whether they're feeling good or bad about things.
That's a really interesting thought, though, kind of that emotional schism between an up day and a down day.
Yeah.
Huh. If it wasn't like that, though, if it wasn't connected to Ward, I was thinking, for in my head, for Walther, like a Geraldo Rivera type.
I mean, I went with Bob Barker, but I definitely went with like a game show host slash interviewer kind of figure.
Oh.
I mean, I went with Bob Barker, honestly, because the first thing I pictured was Bob Barker with that slimline microphone.
Yeah. I definitely see what you're saying on that one.
But then there's the guy, because we did the cash cab reference. And I can't remember what that guy looks like at all.
But then the first thing that popped into my head when I heard the name Walther was Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
I mean, I go to Walter Matthau. You know?
That was entirely... Okay, if you know the canon of Shauna McGuire writing, you can plot pretty much which book I'm reading at the time, as it has surprising amounts of effect on my GMing. Walther is one of the characters in... It was written down as Walter, but I was reading one of the October Day books, and a major character in that, or major secondary character, is Walther, and I just went with it. I really like the character.
Just a quick one. I did not realize this question was from Ren. Ren asks, what force powers would your season one or season two characters have? The problem with me saying that is I don't care about force powers. So I think I can tell you what they would want, probably. Well, Billy couldn't have one because she's a droid, but Kith would probably want force move just because she's lazy.
Yeah. Move is a good staple.
Really is.
Reach across the room for the wrench.
Barrowin would have sense, but the part of the tree that Koba mostly didn't buy, that would let her tell if somebody was lying.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Probably also battle meditation if she got powerful enough to care, because that would have gone along with some of her support abilities. But.
I would say that because Vestrana was an overachiever and had like parental issues, that he would want enhance just so that he could be the best at all times.
Like no one ever was?
Like no one ever was.
Bam! Beat you to it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. To heal them is my real test. To save them is my cause.
Maybe.
Because I know the obvious answer would be heal harm, but I really think it would just be like, no, what can make me better?
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
He's just like, yeah. I know how to do that already. I can already fix somebody's wounds.
Or make them. As we saw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Molecular scalpels? Terrifying.
Yeah.
Well, Ben, what about some of your NPC figures? Let's be honest. I'm thinking Rainbow. Of a Rodian.
Oh. What did you just say? I think we said things at the same time, and I said Vrebo.
I was saying, I was thinking of a specific Rodian.
Oh, okay.
So, yes.
So we said the same thing, yes.
Yes. Let's see. What would Vrebo want? Vrebo really would be just like a Seek, and weirdly enough, I actually think Bind. Like,
sure, checks out.
Bind from the "No, you are staying over there" kind of thing.
Huh.
Like Seek, because he's always sort of the pilot. Like, you kind of get into the manipulate where they've got a connection to their ship through the Force, but Bind, yeah, from, it's like, okay, no, you're a bad person, you stay over there. And if he's feeling frightened or something like that, using dark side points while they're taking damage, Bind is a very terrifying power.
Yeah.
I think thematically, honestly, Billy would like Alter. Hmm. Because of the making a connection with living things.
Oh.
Was that a good O?
It was just an O with a lot of feeling.
I can see Billy getting into pruning a bonsai.
Yeah. Yeah.
Billy still gets me. 3 years later. Oh. I named a car after her, but then that car died.
That's sad. That's not a good connection to have, but I appreciate the effort.
I couldn't have even said it.
Oh, I think, gosh. I did know about that, though. So
it was a blue car. How can you not name a blue car Billy? Anyway,
I mean, I didn't even think about it. But my car's it's kind of a steely blue, so it didn't really. If it was a royal blue, Billy would have made a lot more sense.
Oh yeah, mine was like a blue Crayola. Gotcha. Blue.
Keeping it moving, because I want to get to the lightning round, because I'm excited about understanding what all those redacted lines are going to be, because we don't know what they are until they're read. Viewers, mm-hmm. Listeners.
Those are the rules.
Audience. Yep.
Sometimes we even type them so that we can't see them.
Yeah, I added mine blacked out because I didn't want anybody necessarily who's scrolling to see. Mm-hmm. So we'll hope I typed well. But Mr. T... T3A?
It's T.
I know, but I just like saying T3A. It sounds... I now need to have a droid named T3A. Of the three lines of FFG Star Wars RPGs you have played, which did you enjoy the most, and why? Hyphen, not specifically to this show.
Well, that's good, because my favorite is Age of Rebellion.
Why?
Which, of course, I haven't played on this show.
I'm sorry?
Because, well, there's a lot of reasons. A lot of Edge of the Empire stuff feels a little not quite there yet, because it was the first. A lot of its trees, I kind of feel like, are not quite where they ought to be. Like Fringer and stuff, and like it's kind of weird that the Doctor tree is a better martial artist than the martial artist tree and stuff. So I find Age of Rebellion's specs a bit more even.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's not uncommon that the first version of a game is less consistent than the second version, right? Because the designers mm-hmm. have to learn it also, so that's totally fine. The other thing is that Duty is the only one of the, like, character mechanics of the three that I think is any good.
See, I really like Obligation. I've not had to run a campaign, so I think I like the idea of Obligation more than I do would maybe making it practical.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like I think absolutely your characters should have something like Obligation in your background. I think Obligation as a mechanic, and I know Christine vehemently disagrees with me on this, I think Obligation, the way that mechanic is written, is terrible. I hate it. I don't run it by the book. I generally will avoid games where the GM is going to run it by the book. It's not good. And obviously we've had lots of conversations about morality, and I like it better than Obligation, but that's a low bar.
Yeah.
I've not played Age of Rebellion. So the ones that I've played, obviously I like Edge better. I was just super thrilled with Edge.
You were or you were not?
I was.
Okay.
I just love that side of the galaxy, just like the gritty outskirts, you know? I do feel like I would probably really like Age of Rebellion. From what I've seen of it, the little bit that I've looked at the system, I think I would enjoy a game of that as well.
I mean, if I ever get the opportunity, I'll run a game for you, as long as you can be patient with somebody who has to look everything up.
I almost ran an Age of Rebellion one shot, but then it ended up falling through, and I don't remember why.
Life. But, probably.
Yeah. Probably.
I've spent the most time probably in Edge, because that's what the College Bros game is. Even when they mix it up, like, they bring in things from the other systems, their hearts are still in the wild and free chaos of the Edge kind of idea. But I can appreciate an Edge game, but I feel like I would go with Age of Rebellion, because if I have to pick a context for the system, I like a context that has an internal logic rather than a sandbox.
Yeah, in the same way.
So that appeals to me, and I have, sorry, Brandon, no clue as to what mechanics are better or worse, because I don't think that way.
The core rules are the same, just like I think that some of the specialization trees in Edge aren't very good in terms of like giving you cool things for the experience that you invest. Like all of the stuff about the rules and how that runs otherwise is the same.
And I think that's one of the issues I have with trying to pick an answer to this, because I don't think of the games as different. I think as so much as just a slightly different shape.
Yeah, it's pretty much all in the specializations, because the core systems do not change between them. But the specializations, aside from just, you know, each tree being different, is they have tendencies. So, for instance, Age of Rebellion's specializations make certain assumptions about the context for your character. And so they tend to be, I find, more about building, not in a literal craft sense, but doing things that builds up your group, that is the rebellion, and/or dealing with problems in a way that isn't fighting them directly, because you're not going to win against the Empire that way. And I just find some of those interactions more interesting.
It's a more compelling setup, like, because there's lots of Wild West frontier nitty gritty kind of settings. And I think that having the context of the rebellion is appealing to me.
Yeah. It's the part of the setting that I find the most interest in narratively as well.
Yeah. Same here.
But like, none of us have talked about this one.
I'm currently running, technically I'm running a High Republic game right now that I've just, I'm not running it with any of the rolled mechanics, morality, duty, obligation, and it's working just fine. I like the concept, the system, the X-Men-esque qualities of Force and Destiny, the exploring, well, what does a Force mean to me, all that sort of stuff. I like that part of it. Some of the other stuff is just,
I feel like the Jedi is such a nebulous thing to hinge anything on, or the Forces.
I think that's the reason why I kind of like it, because it is so nebulous. You can then essentially do a adventure based on, well, what does this mean to you?
Yeah.
And what does this mean to your players? And also, it's the one advantage to a Force and Destiny campaign versus any of the other ones is you can do weirder things with it and not be considered overpowering. You can have a knife that rips space-time and cuts a portal to the world between worlds, and no one's really going to, like, bat too many eyes.
Yeah, I like Force and Destiny better than Edge, though that's with caveats, because it can be kind of wilder and more exciting in terms of what players are able to do, what kinds of problems they're able to deal with. Something that I guess is nice about it is that the game does assume that you're not Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another reason that, like, the fact that this adventure is all about Jedi baffles me even more, because it's like, the trees are very much built to be, you aren't a Jedi. You aren't somebody who necessarily knows anything about the Jedi. You are a person in this world who has latent force abilities, as people sometimes do. But it's not your life. Like, you do something else, and these magic things you can do may or may not be a big deal to you. May or may not get you into trouble. Who knows?
My personal favorite for the systems is Age of Rebellion, just on account of, as much as I like the moral ambiguity of the Edge of the Empire, the way that you can go out and do pretty much anything with it, I just like, there's part of me that this is escapist fantasy, and I'm just wanting to direct people to be blowing up Imperials.
I'm sorry. Ben's gonna have to cut out me guffawing, because while Ben and Brandon are talking about systems, Hillary and I have decided we're now shipping Skip and Rebo.
Yeah, that checks out. That being the case, should we does that mean this question is done?
I'm thinking it is.
I'm sorry.
In a similar vein, though, I accidentally skipped one of Adam's questions. Thank you, Ren, for pointing that out. But one of the mechanics that makes me kind of fuzzy on the whole Jedi thing is conflict. And Adam said, Ben, what would you have given up for conflict in that last fight? And would it have been enough to tip anyone over to the dark side?
I'll answer the second one first, because I'm willing to be mildly contrarian, and also really, I would probably give Skip an extra 4 on top of the extra, the 9 that Skip took.
Yeah, I was going to say, I used a ton of dark side pips, because I did not care.
I was tracking it, but also I just didn't really care. I was just caring about the strain at the point. Yeah, for the uses of Ultra, I'd probably toss in 2 per, which 4, okay, we're at 13. Oh no, the lowest Skip would go on that would be plus 142. Still right in the middle there. Just essentially flipping from 56 to 42 at worst case without doing the roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Koba, I can't come up with any real reason. Like, Koba was fighting a fairly standard lightsaber battle.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that Koba did that was...
Same with Hillary, and
Cash was pretty careful to not take pity, because she was the only one close enough.
The only thing that I would be tossing in extra for Cash would be the yank of the TIE fighter. But even then, we're talking like 2, maybe 3.
I mean, that was cool.
Like, it was cool. It was totally worth it. But even then, like, currently, Kesh is at and needs to roll to see whether they fall or not, because they've got a 33. They've got 6 on paper. If I toss in another 2, that's 8. So, needs to roll 6 or better. So, it's a 50-50 chance of being dark side.
What are the thresholds?
29, actually. So, okay. 29 is the threshold to go dark.
Yeah.
And at that point,
Kesh was at a point where there was a risk.
Yeah. Like, not a great risk, even with my extra, not a great risk, but still a risk.
So, what does that do to the game for gameplay if she had fallen?
Once you become a dark side force user, the way that you use the force dice flips, you can use dark side points for free, but you have to take strain to use light side points. Statistically, what that does is, if you look at the force dice, 7 out of the 12 faces have dark side points on them, but fewer of them are double pips. There's the same number of light side and dark side pips on the die. It's basically, it's easier for you to get some pips you can use for free, but it's harder for you to get large quantities of pips you can use for free.
I mean, I just haven't played in a game where somebody had that mechanically happen.
Yeah, it just changes how you use the force a little bit.
Really hide it on account of the force flip. The flip for using the opposite side stuff is still there. Yeah. It's just you're flipping to use light side instead of dark side. The string use is there for light side instead of dark side. And the thing that I'm not really remembering, even though I looked it up because somewhat recently a character did that on Force Majeure and Adam went through all this, but I'm trying to remember whether conflict is still given out for dark side. I think it is, but I don't remember, and I'm not willing to stick to it.
I believe it is, because that way conflict still drives you down. So like,
yeah,
if you're tapping the dark side heavily, you're gonna get darker.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. Good point.
Yeah. Most previous Star Wars RPGs have had dark side force users just become NPCs at that point.
Pretty much.
This system is different in that they don't mandate that, although that's still a fair question to ask at your table if it happens, whether or not the character can really continue to operate with the party in a way that is fine for everybody on the table. But if you want to do a redemption arc, you have to claw your way back up to 70
Paragon, yeah.
And the game also just says there should probably also be some additional something that you do in character that kind of justifies your redemption. And because dark side points are now the ones that are easier for you to use, but will still drive you darker, that means you really have to kind of
you gotta fight for it.
Yeah, you've got to make some like decisions and sacrifices about how you operate with the force to be able to gain redemption back into the light side.
Okay, I'm going to rest control again because I've got a couple more questions before lightning round. And Ren is wondering, now that we have a handful of characters under our belt in this whole Hydean world, are there any archetypes you've not played that you wish you had or would want to?
For me, just like some rebellion kind of stuff, like fighter pilot or possibly a mechanic-ish sort of thing. But that's all.
I want to play an Ewok somewhere, even though I know everyone will yell at me and say I can't.
No, because
you totally can.
I would. I've wanted to play an Ewok since somebody introduced me to the fact that there is a Star Wars RPG. I didn't know that they were like the, you know, hated Kender figure of the Star Wars world.
That's exactly it. I was playing a Kender in a game for a hot second, and I like this person was just like, that's terrible of you. Kender should be all murdered. And I was like, what? Why do I keep gravitating towards these species that people just
because
hate?
You think they're going to be fun and perky and fun and interesting.
Gotcha. I've got to somehow get together everyone to do a small, like, 1-2-shot.
My thing is,
Ewok
I
game.
Learned D&D from a person that like I could see he was one of the reasons people wouldn't want to play D&D, and I can see that now. I couldn't at the time because I was being introduced to the game, but he's one of the people you would not want playing it because he would use it to be obnoxious.
Yeah.
And I can see people using things like Ewoks to just be butts. But I don't think, honestly, Ren, I think you and I could have a lot of fun being Ewoks without being, like, table crashers, basically, because we're not in it to be elements of chaos. We're in it to be little murder bears.
Yes.
Of awesomeness.
Yeah.
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 That would be awesome.
All of those things are definitely, like, prejudices that exist because jerk players use things like Kinder's not understanding the notion of personal property to be jerks.
Also, yeah. It's clear that these people that hate Ewoks haven't seen the Ewoks movies, because there's an Ewok who is like an inventor and is super cool and builds this gliding machine.
I'm sorry, what?
Come on.
I've never heard of this.
Those two are amazing.
I have no context for this, and I feel very much like I have a hole in my heart now.
Oh, yeah. Leslie.
There's a lot of Ewok media from the 80s.
Yeah.
I have a super massive imposter syndrome issue when it comes to playing any kind of character, because as soon as I make a character, I start seeing other characters I've played in it before. So I don't have an answer for this one.
That's fair.
I mean, that's
absolutely fair.
I mean, you do have an answer because we could both play Ewoks. It's fine. You can have the same answer.
Okay, fair enough. We're going to be Ewok buddies, and I will be named Chubbles. And I will have Chubbles at the desk with me. And if you do not know what Chubbles is, look it up. everybody tells me he's nightmare fodder, but I think he's adorable. So there. I mean, Ben, you've played everything since you're the GM and you've been playing for donkey's years. Do you have anything you haven't achieved? Anyone you want to bring to the table?
Not expressly. Like, I mean, Chronicles went about as well as it could with all the stuff that we talked about at the beginning of last episode. Friends Like These went pretty good. And that was, I was learning how to do an AP at the time, learning how to try and GM that sort of stuff, and had a great crew. Then the Mask of the Pirate Queen, I'm still going on, is, I still think it's the best adventure that FFG has put out. Now, some would say that's not exact. Well, no. Of the ones I've run, it is absolutely the best. But then I just remembered Jewel of Yavin, which I think is superior. I just really like Jewel of Yavin. It's a really fun adventure. Mm-hmm. And if I were to ever run another published adventure from FFG/Edge, it would likely be Jewel of Yavin. Because it is so contained. It is so, there's so much stuff there. It's great. I have critiques on all of the 7 adventures. Generally, the Edge ones are better than the Age ones, which all are better than the Force and Destiny ones. As for plot lines and all that sort of stuff, I'm a GM. I've one game currently going on. I am plotting out a one-shot to run. I've got another thing that's going on that everyone's going to be able to hear next week. Yeah, it starts up next week.
Have we moved to the next question?
Well, we've kind of segued into the next question. Leslie, do you want to read that one?
From Ken Kaler, with all 3 Star Wars product lines explored, what is next for the podcast? Queen of Erin Darkness Adventures? Clone Wars Adventures? Genesis? Please, don't say retirement. 1B, will there be a spinoff?
What's a synonym for retirement?
Hiatus?
a nap.
All right, Ben, carry on. You were kind of answering this, so.
As we've alluded to, there's a lot going on for pretty much everyone. Everyone's life has dramatically changed in the near 2 years since we started doing this, and a lot of us are wanting to move on from doing podcasting. I've been doing a lot of soul searching about what that means to continuing on with Heroes. I do have a 4-ish plus episode adventure coming out just next week. It is, whereas Rogue One went after the plans for the first Death Star, this is going after what Mon Mothma was talking about at the midpoint of Return of the Jedi, where many Bothans died, to bring us the information as to where the Death Star is, and that the Emperor has miscalculated and is overseeing the final construction of the station. Small foreshot. What comes after that? I'm not entirely certain, on account of, with all the things that have been going on in behind, I've been very tapped out for energy, and I do want to keep doing things. I just don't know what yet, and where things go. There's a part of me that really does kind of want to jump into, to take the same vague concept of Let's Run Publish Adventures and go with that. Personally, I am not a fan of high fantasy, so from that point, D&D is a no-go, even though that, if I'm caring about numbers or any of that sort of stuff. D&D is the place to go, but it's not me. There's two published adventures that are interesting to me, and then there's the just do my own thing with a crew. The two published adventures, one is Jewel of Yavin, as I've previously said. I would love to run that. That was always sort of my, if we get to do a fourth FFG season, do it. But doing a Star Wars actual play means you've got two different legal departments that are annoyed at you just for existing. And if you rise up too big on, then one or the other will come over and say, no, go away. So doing it definitely is like Patreon's generally okay, but doing any other things starts to become into the gray area, which I've shied away from. The other published adventure that interests me a lot is in Star Trek Adventures. There is, this also could be me misunderstanding the product, but there's the Shackleton Expanse adventure book, which is not necessarily one long adventure from start to finish. I believe there's an overarching narrative, but it's 10 different adventures you can do based out of one area of space.
Yeah, the Shackleton Expanse is like the Modiphius's like little corner of the universe that has been entirely defined for the game as a playground for that sort of content, new unexplored sector of space, et cetera, et cetera.
That really interests me of like, okay, there's this book with a bunch of adventures in it. Let's explore a few of them. And also because it's a bunch of separate, like, I think it's 10 separate adventures. Hey, look, you can change up cast on a fairly regular basis and not really be stepping on yourself. Star Trek generally likes its fans a heck of a lot more than Star Wars. Like
that is probably
Paramount,
true.
Paramount, yeah. CBS. Yeah, like the people who own, unless you are trying to lay claim to the original series, generally they like their fans more. Like they're willing to put up with fan productions. They're willing to do all that sort of stuff. You yeah. just can't make a boatload of money at it.
Much less litigious in general.
Yeah. So,
also, it's a really cool system.
I mean, yeah, I also like the system. It's easier to run in some ways because I can get it to work on Roll20 easily enough. It's
It's a lighter system in a lot of ways. It's not a light system relative to all of RPGs, but it's lighter than Genesis.
It's a decent in between. I'm also very nervous with Edge Studios on account of, I know Edge still exists, but I don't know that they've actually published anything that wasn't announced or in the pipe before the shift over. Mm-hmm. I just haven't seen anything from them. I know they exist, but I want them to exist. I really like the stuff they put out, but
kind of radio silence.
Yeah, it's a little too much radio silence for too long, and you get bursty. For what's happening with Heroes / the Hydean Way, we're going to do the Bothan thing. Then after that, it's going to be at least a summer of quiet as I try and recharge and pull together a crew, because everyone's needing to go off into their own directions. We have completed a thing.
Do we want to have any other folks answer for kind of their own?
Please.
In the immediate.
If you know where you're going or what you're wanting to do.
Because it's important to note that a lot of what you said is where you're headed and like by virtue of that, potentially the show itself, but not necessarily everybody here is involved in those things. But,
fair enough.
Yeah.
So yeah, where are the three of you going? Do you have projects?
So I guess I'll start by saying that I think I'm probably done for being a player in things like this. It's not, I know a lot of people who only know me through Heroes don't have this like aspect of me, but I am generally a forever GM by choice. And, kind of when I started on season two of Heroes, it was like a novelty for me to be playing all of a sudden again. And it was fine. It was a good time. But now, after playing, I think both Berowyn and Kobar are the two characters in any RPG I have played for the longest amount of time. And it's not close. And I'm definitely just kind of feeling like, yep, I'm ready to be done. There's a reason that I'm a forever GM by choice outside of podcast productions. And I probably don't want to get into the habit of committing to being a player in things that are going to have like obligations and schedule of that nature. I'm hesitant to say I'll go elsewhere podcast-wise, because every time I start a podcast, it crashes and burns. And I know that I'm not really one to keep up with the editing. So in a magical world where editing could happen immediately, maybe I would run something. But that's not reality either. So, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm just kind of, for RPG podcasts for the moment, just kind of not doing anything. Rin and I have been working on something on the side, which is not RPGs, but might be. I guess if you just really want to hear our voices, you might have a place to go sometime in the future. I don't know, Rin, do you want to... That's kind of your child. Also, if you want to say, let's not talk about this, that's also fine. We can not talk about this.
Oh, no, it's fine. I'm kind of with Brandon in terms of, I think I'm done, at least for right now, with having to also perform while I'm trying to TTRPG. So I think I'm just definitely taking a backseat from podcasting and streaming and anything actual play related. And I'm looking forward to running some far less stressful off recording TTRPGs.
Yeah, just for fun games.
Yeah, because I haven't really done one of those in a while. And not to say that like it's a bad stress. It's just a lot to have to like manage tech and make sure that your sound quality is good and or that your camera is right while you're also just trying to like get immersed in your role play. So I'm just taking a break from that for a little while, especially because this summer I have a very big important surgery coming up, and I am just going to kind of take big content creation break and recover from that.
That seems like a good life choice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
let yourself heal.
Good time for me. But as Brandon said, we do have a small side project we're working on. It has nothing to do with RPGs. It is a book podcast.
Yeah. There's not enough of those.
I mean, okay.
Oh, geez.
Okay. As somebody who believes there's not enough
books. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes. But the premise, I think, is cute.
I like it.
I mean, yeah, the premise is great.
It is called My Dog Ate My Book Report because it is sort of a belated content thing where each episode, Brandon or I force the other to read a book that they loved as a child. And then we talk about it.
Hmm.
Are you going to release information on the books ahead of time so I can read them too?
Yes.
Awesome.
So, you know, we were getting to revisit books we loved as a kid to see if the magic is still there, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Have you guys already started?
Yes, we've recorded 3.5 episodes so far.
So have you already read Dinotopia?
Not yet.
It's on the list.
It's definitely on the list.
I didn't want to start with my biggest guns, you know?
I've been thinking about picking them up again, so, you know.
Look,
we're trying to give ourselves plenty of lead time because whoever's episode it is also, it's their job to edit that episode. So we're just alternating.
Well, that's a nice way to split up duties.
And I can't be trusted to edit episodes in anything resembling ever, actually. But I'll try. No, that's much easier to do that than I keep deprecatingly alluding to the disaster that is Endeavor.
Discussion podcasts are so much easier to edit than actual plays.
There's two voices. We don't have to add sound effects. It's fine.
Yep. Oh, and it's a discussion.
The most amount of work that goes into it is having to actually read the book, and then whoever's choice it was has to do some research on the author and the book and that sort of thing to add to the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yep. They're not necessarily all children's books, because our remit is pretty broad as far as what counts, but a lot of them are children's books and thus fairly quick reads.
Yeah, the actual parameters are books we read at a formative age. If it's a book we probably should not have read at that formative age.
I read Jurassic Park more earlier than I should have, and I would have, like, in this context, I would have presented that book.
There may be some Stephen King on my list.
I've never read Stephen King.
Yeah, so we've recorded some, not out yet. Don't go looking for them, you won't find them. But
we do have a Twitter.
We do. Yeah, but there's no episodes to listen to yet. But but yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say about that show, or just coming soon?
No, just coming soon. It's cool. Relaxing. I'm enjoying carving time out to read again.
Yeah.
Read that's and awesome. Talk about books. That's like one of my all time favorite concepts. So
yeah.
Good on you guys.
Yeah.
Well, it came out of a conversation where well, have you read this? No. Well, have you read this? No. And we have so few childhood books in common.
Really?
Mm.
Which was a very weird fun fact that came out of conversation. So.
Yeah, considering the amount of interest overlap and fan overlap and stuff that we have as adults, it's...
Yeah, that was kind of why I was surprised.
It's super weird how little we both read at a time that was shaping our tastes. So we've got a significant list of books.
Cool.
Yeah.
Already that are valid. So
Leslie, are you working on anything?
No. Well, I mean, actually, I've been in an impressively solid brain place for probably the last month and a half. So I've actually started reading more, and I've been doing some writing, including I recently wrote a short story that's out to friends to proofread and whatnot, called Penny O'Brien and the Sinister Syllabus.
Nice.
Which means nothing probably to either of you, but, you know.
I don't know. Sounds like a thing I'd read.
It sounds good, though.
Has Penny shown up in other Syllabus Zero stuff?
No, she's not. I don't know if she will, because this season actually is stalwart, so there's an option for it, but... As we learned season one, scheduling East Coast and West Coast, lots of fun.
Yeah. Penny comes from season one, Two-Shotter.
In which we played Genesis, steampunky kind of stuff, and completely, completely missed Ben's entire plot of a murder mystery.
Yeah, I mean, well... I mean, trying to corral the Ng brothers is... There's a reason why there's a small club who have ever tried.
Well, I mean, everybody's got their own brain. And like I said, as we've learned in this show, and I'm sure everybody learns in any conversation or gaming podcast, everybody just comes from a very different place. But so yeah. I've been writing again, and I'm planning on trying to play all of the different RPGs I have on my shelf, one way or the other. So cool. We'll see what good that luck. Happens. I my shelf is lot smaller than most of the RPGers I know, so I have vague hope.
Nobody has ever played every RPG on their RPG shelf, Leslie. It's never been done.
Maybe I can break that curse.
Some would say it's impossibility.
Because as soon as you've played one, another two arrive.
Our understanding of physics does not allow for it to occur.
But yeah, so we're all gonna kind of do our thing, and the future will be what it will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of the future, and by that I mean the immediate future, is there... Is it just me, or is there a storm rolling in?
Oh, you know what? Hold on. I need to go get someone.
You need to go get someone?
Yeah, that's ominous.
Yeah, hold on. Oh, they're right here. Here she is.
were supposed to do a lightning round? Hello, I am Lorenzo. You may know me from being the star of many, many very popular episodes of Heroes of the Hydean Way. And I am here to do the lightning round.
Are you using the puppet?
I'm not. I already packed it.
Oh.
I wish I was.
You are in my heart,
pretend
Ren.
That you are.
All right. So I've been told that if you get the questions wrong, I get to shoot you with force lightning. Are you ready?
You're a Sith?
Okay.
No.
No, that no, Lorenzo, you can't actually do that. Well, fine.
Oh, no.
All right. You still have to answer them fast, though.
Okay. Yep. I'm ready.
Checks out.
Okay, Leslie.
You had to agree, but I'm not ready.
Benny's running star paws, Burks and Destiny. What breed of dog do you play?
Great Pyrenees.
Brandon, who bucks the trend and asks for a homebrewed non-dog character?
I mean, it's probably me. Not that I don't want to be a dog. But, like, what if I wasn't a dog?
What if
I was an alien who could talk to Dalmatians?
Okay, Ben. What was your favorite use of a force power this season? It doesn't necessarily need to be one of your own.
The healing bubble from Hillary, that was just amazing.
And will never happen again.
The next one is also for you. Favorite force power for antagonists to have, and why is it move?
It's actually not move.
No, it's move. It says it in the question.
I know, but Adam's wrong. It's unleash. Just on account of, so you can do all the different elements with it. You can do ice, you can do fire, you can do lightning if you're wanting to be boring, like Palps. But yeah, I just...
Ooh, does that mean I can shoot you all with fire?
No, please.
It's not a fire round.
You are all very not fun. All right,
although it is a rapid fire question.
What color would your character paint the silvered shell? That was to Leslie. Wasn't listening to me.
Hello, circus character. Hillary would make it very colorful indeed. It would be like full motley.
Many colors.
Many, many colors.
Oh.
Hillary Al-Arak and his ship of many colors.
Okay, Ren. Which Power Ranger are you?
Well, probably whatever one is orange. Although they don't really have an orange one ever, do they?
At least in the U.S., there has not been an orange Power Ranger. Asterisk.
Asterisk?
Well, that stinks.
Depends on how you count certain ones.
I guess okay, if we're going with the original Power Rangers, I want black.
I believe there is a... I think there's a comic where... Which is kind of a...
Okay, this is supposed to be fast. It's the lightning round. Okay. All right. Brandon, your character is entered into an art contest. What medium do they use?
Ooh.
Geez. Tears?
I was thinking cigarette ash, but okay.
That is very bleak. Ben, for your character's data pad, whichever character you want... Windows, PC, or Linux?
Linux for Carl and Ward. Yeah, both.
Okay. Leslie.
Yeah.
What is your character's favorite fairy tale?
Pied Piper.
All right. These next couple of questions are going to be whoever jumps in the fastest with the funniest response. There is a Hydean Way yearbook. Who is voted class clown?
I mean, Lorenzo, but...
I mean, yeah, let's be honest. Like, Hillary is literally a class clown?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I feel like that's too on the nose for a yearbook,
but
though.
Barrowin is funniest.
Most likely to succeed.
Barrowin is a small business owner.
I was about to say, probably Barrowin again.
Not Vistrano.
No, Vistrano won't put himself out there.
Yeah.
Most argumentative. Better not be me again.
I wouldn't dream of it.
I mean, I think Koba and Cash together were pretty argumentative.
All right.
I'm the good kid.
Brandon.
Yeah?
How many fingers does your PC have, and what finger would a vanity ring go on?
I believe Doug's have 5 fingers. They're just long, I think. And I assume it would be the ring finger? I think it would be the same as for a human. They're just long.
And Ben, what would Brandon's vanity ring say? For Koba or Berowin, whichever.
Yeah, I was assuming Koba.
I have no idea.
Number one dad.
For Koba, I'd say it was a dark and stormy night.
It was that, or went to the, was it Sam's place, and all I got was this crummy ring?
Okay. Then back to Ben. Fly, ride, or walk?
Fly.
Okay. Leslie.
What?
Which Power Ranger are you?
The...
Pick a color.
Pink?
Okay.
Solid choice.
Yay! I know nothing.
Brandon.
Yeah.
Preferred polyhedral shape.
Icosahedron. Oddly. Because I don't really like D20 games. But an icosahedron's pretty good. And it's a fun word to say.
Very.
Ben. Text, letter, or call?
I mean, text.
Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
What Power Ranger are you?
I think I'm most consistent with the Blue Rangers, generally. They're the nerds.
Okay. And you all have to answer this one. What would your gargoyle name be once they decided to take names upon themselves?
32nd Street.
Yeah, if they're all like things from New York, the first part of New York that popped into my brain, of course, was Hell's Kitchen. I guess that could be a gargoyle name.
Why not?
Yeah, Brooklyn's taken, so my gargoyle is Hell's Kitchen. Kitch for short.
I like it.
Yeah,
I just go by Street.
I'm just trying to think of the name of that New York deli that I went to once, because I'm not very well versed in New York.
Why do you think I picked what I picked? I don't even know if they have a 32nd Street, but it makes sense.
I feel pretty sure they do.
I mean, yeah, but, you know.
My gargoyle name would be Zabar, because they have good cheese.
Yeah, that tracks.
Anything, Ben?
I'm going with Broadway. Because I don't think that was a gargoyle.
No, Broadway was one of the gargoyles.
Oh, right. Yeah. Then, yeah, I'm kind of at a blank.
Broadway was the gargoyle who liked to eat because they weren't very subtle.
Because it was the 90s.
Yeah, you're right.
We're okay, just so, not a very New York-versed group.
That's no. True. That's true. Nobody's taking Queens. That's Ben? Another borough.
All right. Well, Lorenzo has wandered away coughing, so I think that's the end.
Yeah, Lorenzo's intense voice is intense.
Yeah.
Lorenzo's voice is no longer really possible thanks to HRT.
Lorenzo is dying.
No. So if anybody comes up with a good gargoyle system, we now have a couple of characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Hydean Way spinoff. Gargoyles of the Hydean Way.
That said, I do want to just point out that Mr. T did throw in not really a question, but I'll post it anyway. Thanks for awesome characters and the stories you brought us through these seasons. And I would like to thank Ben for facilitating pretty much almost all of those stories, my fellow players, and listeners like you.
Yeah.
It's been many years.
It has. It has been a lot of years.
It's been 80 years.
Wait. I have a question about Mr. T's comment. How does he feel about fools who haven't listened to the Heroes of the Hydean Way?
I feel like he probably pities them.
Okay.
But I don't want to speak out of turn, of course.
That's fair. I was just curious if he had included that information. Mm-hmm. But I understand if he didn't.
Mm-hmm. That's all the questions. I don't.
It's time to round it up, I guess.
I guess it is.
One last outro.
Oh. One last outro.
Without Christine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like my new Twitter handle, without a K.
You can find show updates. Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice. And no, I still will not spell it.
Yeah, get wrecked, people who don't know how to spell deuterium.
I mean, I read it like as Deuteronomy Mouse for the first 2 years I knew Ben, so.
Oh, I see it. Yeah.
That's a solid handle.
Yeah. I legit had to ask what it was.
For somebody.
So, Deuteronomy Mouse is best friends with 12th Knight without a K.
Yeah. I'm on Twitter at Ace Picarito, AcePikoRito.
I guess the best place that you can find me in any sort of public facing account will be at My Dog Ate My Book Report on Twitter, which is at Dog Ate My Book Pod. Because of character limits.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You can find me at LessLitGS and potentially Christine at 12th Knight with a K, 12th Knight.
All right. And you can find previous episodes at TheHydeanWay.com.
You can find more episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Plus, you can help us out by rating, reviewing, and subscribing.
We're also on Facebook as The Hydean Way, and you can holocom us at heroes@thehydeanway.com.
What is this wacky order you're all doing?
If you like what we do and you want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or you can send the team some gaff at ko-fi.com/thehydeanway. There, I got one.
Yeah.
Mayhem.
Good form.
Perfect.
Dupe?